Pastor Andre Cook presents this powerful, life-changing message to encourage, inspire, and provoke you to walk into your destiny. Now receive this word of change from the prophet, Andre Cook.
Leaving things. Leaving things. Some things are left behind to our loss, but other things are left behind for our gain. There are things mentioned in Scripture that were left behind to the gain of those who left them behind and in following the will of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, these verses 19 through 21, tells the story of the call of the protege Elijah. The events that precede the call has more to do with the obvious sense of defeat felt by Elijah. I believe it's noteworthy of mention because we all have been where Elijah was after great spiritual achievements, feeling a sense of burden until we want to abandon our call and our purpose. This was where Elijah was coming out of. It was Elijah who was so despondent that he's found sitting under a juniper tree saying, enough is enough. But the Lord responds to his desire to quit by feeding him with angels' food that would sustain him for 40 days. I wonder, does anybody here know what it's like to quit, but God sustains you while quitting is on your mind? You want to quit, you're resigned, but yet you're still in the battle. You're still in the fight. You're still tonight here in the house of God. Are you with me? And 40 days later, the Bible would again give us to know that Elijah is still somewhat despondent and overwhelmed. To the Lord's dismay, the Lord himself is dismayed at the condition and the attitude of Elijah, all because, after all, the Lord has rejected his resignation and has, by a meal, sustained him and refused to let him quit. Is there witness? The Lord would not allow him to quit. The Lord sustains him, but he finds him yet with a determination to quit the ministry. But needless to say, his resignation would be rejected and God would win the battle. And the result of God winning the battle is that God says to him, I want you to go and anoint the next king of the nation, but then I also want you to go and I want you to anoint your successor. And this is where these particular verses now come into play. Elijah has come across God's choice to replace him, a young man by the name of Elisha. It is amazing that the story tells us that Elisha, who has a father, is now going to receive a surrogate spiritual father. All in one gesture. Note, if you would, in your studies, where you'll find Elijah. He is in the field of employment. He's working. Is there a witness? And while working, the Bible says that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, or there were some 11 teams plowing the field before him, which means to me to be discovered The prophet Elijah had to go through the array of those that preceded Elijah. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be discouraged by those who are parading now before you, because it doesn't mean they're God's perfect choice. There are 11 teams. Are you with me? There are 11 individuals who are before him, but it is not until Elijah lays eyes on the 12th individual, Elisha. And the Bible says when he lays eyes upon him, the Bible says he was plowing with the 12th, and Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak or his mantle, Mr. Riddick, he throws his mantle upon him and walks away. Placing a mantle, come son, bring that to me. Placing a mantle on him had great significance. Those who were familiar knew that there was a significance to an act by this, especially by the well-known prophet Elijah. So for Elijah to walk up to Elisha and place his priestly or prophetic garb upon the shoulders of Elisha, he was identifying him as a prophet to be. He was saying to him, as well as all before him and around him, that your calling is now distinctive, and your calling is now made known and manifest to you and to all. This is why the Bible says that when Elijah receives the cloak, the Bible says he responds to Elijah by saying, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute, please. Please let me go and first say goodbye and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will follow you. I will be you. Elijah says, go back, do what you must do, but consider what I have done to you. Sounds like our message the other night, total commitment. Is there witness? We've been talking about this overall theme of abandoning what possibly could hinder you from fulfilling the will of God. Elijah identifies him, but Elijah gives him the space to address his past. It's amazing here that the scripture does not point out that he is required to love his parents any less, but it is time to abandon their home so that he may walk in the will of God that is going to require new training. His biological father has taught him how to plow, but the surrogate father, the prophet, is going to teach him to be a servant of God. There's no church here. Looking for some help, maybe over here. Anybody? So remember what I have done to you. Remember, I've just placed my coat to identify you as a prophetic gift. Don't you forget that. And the Bible says Elijah not only goes in, apparently, Scott, in the silence of the text, it becomes evident that he does have the chance to say to his mother and father goodbye, but he returns to the instruments of his profession. And the Bible says he first kills the oxen. Notice the progression here. Are you with me, Scott? He kills the oxen, and the oxen is more valuable than the yoke that held the team together, which he was saying by slaying first the oxen. What is most valuable to me must first be abandoned by death if I am going to proceed with the will of God. Anybody here? And I mean, it is suggested that it took about a year's worth of salary to be able to afford an oxen. So with one swift movement of a knife, he kills a year worth of salary. Touch a neighbor and say, you may have to give up something valuable first to make all the other stuff fall in line. Anybody here? So he slays first the oxen, and I'm reading the text from the Living Bible again. He returns to his oxen, he kills them, Scott, and then he takes the wood from the plow as well as from the yoke.